and welcome to Share Truth Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Stark.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. It's going all right. This finally gotten to be kind of like fall weather here.
I know. I see you pulled out your pullover.
Yeah, I got this nice AFA pullover.
Look, I don't have it in here right now, but at my desk, I do have my nice
new.
We got our merch. I got my AFA cardigan. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I'm wearing it with my AFA t-shirt.
There you go. We are all
repping.
All swagged out with AFA stuff.
Yeah.
And that really dated me for me saying swag. But yeah, we're able to wear this stuff now because in the mornings it's real chilly, and I'm really happy about that. No more summer heat, hopefully. But yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll have a random week at the beginning
Next
of November
week,
where it's back
degrees.
80 degrees.
Yeah, that would be miserable. But what's not miserable is that we have Chris Woodward in studio with
us. Good. Thank you. I had to look down because I had to look at what I was wearing. I'm also wearing some AFA shirt.
Look at us.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Working here over a period of time and getting occasional t-shirts or pullovers or something of that sort, it helps at like 7:30 in the morning when you don't really have the light or the time to pick what you're going to wear, maybe if you're getting dressed in the dark. So you just grab what you know always works.
Yeah. This you have your AFA drawer at this point, right? You just reach in and grab it.
That's kind of what I went for. In fact, I didn't even like, it was all wrinkly. I didn't iron it. I threw it in the dryer.
Yeah.
There you
do you own an iron anymore?
I don't think so.
I don't think many people do. I think a lot of folks just throw it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We do. And it's like, I hate ironing boards.
Yeah.
They're always in the way, and there's not a good place to put them.
Right.
Right. And so, like, and an iron as well. Like, it's the least ergonomically shaped object on the planet, and it's always hot. And so, it's like, you have to be careful how you store it. And I don't know. I don't like it personally, but that's how we do things. We don't just
I'm glad you're more put together than
No, I'm not. My wife is. That's to her credit, not mine at all.
Who knows? Maybe Elon is like, you know, Elon or Jeff is thinking of the next big iron project.
Yeah. My son, he's 8 years old. He's obsessed with robots.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the Tesla robot Optimus is like one of his favorite things. We watch all the videos when they come out. He's fascinated. So, like, yeah, one day, you know, maybe in the future when it's like you buy a used car, let's get a used Optimus, and that'll iron our clothes for
us. I hope our kids one day, you know, if the Lord tarries, I hope our kids get to experience the future we were told we would have.
Yeah.
Because when we were kids, it was going to be all this stuff, and now it's like I still get the automated towel dispenser that doesn't put out the paper towel.
I have to fight it all the time in the bathroom here, and it just – and it's just like it's taunting me.
It's well,
but that is not what we're here for
today.
Maybe another day.
Maybe another day we'll have a discussion about that.
But yeah, because Chris is in studio with us, we like to have you in occasionally, like once a month or so, to kind of go over what's going on in the world right now, but especially from the perspective of being able to pray for these things. And I think that's – I'm glad that we're able to talk about that because, you know, if you turn on the news, whatever news outlet you listen to, hopefully most of the time it's AFN. But if you're looking at any other place, generally speaking, they're not going to ask you to pray for these things. It's going to be more about – here's something else to be miserable about and to be depressed about. But we like to turn our eyes to the Lord prompted by what's going on in the world. So, Chris, you're here to talk about that today.
And it's a topic that we've talked about, and if the Lord tarries, we'll continue to talk about it. That being the need to pray for missionaries. Mm-hmm. I bring all this in because this week there was a story about an American missionary being kidnapped in Niger, which some people also pronounce as Niger or some other kind of variant of that pronunciation. Anyway, an American missionary was kidnapped in Niger, and it's a very scary situation over there in that part of Africa. There's a lot of radical Islamic presence over there. Boko Haram and other militant or terrorist groups have been wreaking havoc on Americans and other people. And so we just need to take this in the news and pray for not only that individual, but all the missionaries that our churches do support.
Yeah.
And sometimes people think, well, you know, it's probably too late. But there was that story months ago, if not at the end of last year. It's hard to tell time in the news cycle.
Yeah.
but there was that story about an American pastor from Tennessee that was kidnapped at gunpoint or knife point in South Africa. Mm. He was found alive, praise God.
Yeah.
So we do need to pray for not only the missionaries that we see on the news or hear about on the news, but to continue to be in prayer for them And not just their safety, but also their health needs. They don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Many missionaries pretty much live in poverty.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be a good witness to people that are also living in poverty, depending on where they're serving. So we need to pray for their health, their wealth, their resources, and that they would be able to have the things that they need to reach people for Christ while we are here in our own communities trying to tell people about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we're coming up on the holidays, too. One thing when I think about missionaries is over the holidays, a lot of times there's that feeling of isolation of they understand that their family's getting all together back in the States. And even if they're in a country that celebrates Christmas, and there's a whole, no matter where you go around the world, there's going to be some place that celebrates Christmas in one way or another. Just the idea of that, them being away from their family. I want to encourage you guys, if you support through your church, support a missionary or just personally, send them a card this Christmas and let them know that you're thinking about them. But also, you know, thinking about places like Niger and others around the world, really, really dark places where, you know, it could be this is a Islamic nation or a primarily Hindu nation or just a nation that does not want the truth of the gospel preached. Even if there's not outright governmentally approved persecution of Christians in these countries, oftentimes missionaries will find persecution there. They'll find really, really difficult situations there. And honestly, it's because Satan does not want them to bring the gospel into that country. And so definitely be praying for Christians and missionaries in these countries like Niger, because the darkness there is very, very different than what we're experiencing here in America, where, you know, if you go out and you're in the street and you say, "Hey, everybody, I'm a Christian," nobody's going to pull a gun on you most of the time.
Right.
And if they do, they'll get arrested.
I'm not going to say that's not a possibility. I mean, there are bad people wherever you go.
Yeah.
But overall, as a country, we are not. As Christians, obviously, there are moments of persecution.
Sure.
But
there is definitely opposition.
We don't live, we do not live under the fear, like, we do not live in fear of being killed every day.
We live in a country where, in certain states, if a person running for Senate says, "I'm a Christian, I go to church," that is something that a lot of people will vote for them for.
Yeah.
So that's the political reality we live in. We have a lot of opposition, though. And that's usually in issues, you know, fronts. But there is, in other parts of the world, it's a whole different picture. If you go out and you say, "I'm a Christian," and you practice that openly, that is a death sentence for you. Mm-hmm. And that is the reality that so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ live in daily. And they've counted up that cost. And that's something that Paul talked about, is counting the cost of following Jesus, being able to take up that cross. And that's something that they do every day, and that's something that we should do every day. And thankfully, we don't necessarily have those horrible situations that force us to.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to have that same heart. But it is a great reminder, again, to be able to pray for these people who are sharing the gospel in really, really dark places in the world.
Another topic, this is kind of an ongoing thing that we're going to have over the next few weeks at least. People like Dr. Frank Turek and others are going to be appearing at Turning Point USA events in different parts of the country, some parts of the country that are somewhat hostile or closed to Christianity. For example, Dr. Turek is going to be in places like UC Berkeley, which is not generally thought of as a very welcoming or inclusive campus when it comes to things like Christianity. But to Frank's credit, I really applaud him, because there are God-fearing Christians in places like California, and they need to know that they're not alone. And because it's a Turning Point USA event, we need to just pray for the safety of the students that are going there, for people that are traveling there, for the first responders that have to provide the extra security now in the absence of Charlie Kirk. We all know what happened to him back in September at an event at a Utah university. So we need to be praying for that because in a few days from now, Vice President Vance is going to be at Ole Miss, also known as the University of Mississippi, for a TPUSA event featuring Erica Kirk and some others. And, you know, it's still kind of a tense time. I would understand if somebody's wanted to go, but then they're kind of cautious, like, well, you know, I don't know if now's a good time or not. Like, I would completely understand.
Yeah.
But as Dr. Turek and other people have pointed out, we can't let evil win. Mm-hmm. We still need to get out there. And really, when you hear those kinds of things, it makes you take stock of all the things you're not doing or wanting to do because you're fearful of something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is something that I really think for Turek and Vice President Vance and all these people who are, you know, fearlessly going to these events and they're setting that example. I think that's the exact right thing to do and the God-honoring thing to do is and that's what I've seen as a pattern in Christians when after the fallout of the horrible event in September is that there hasn't been this idea of, oh, shrink back, you know, retreat, you know, kind of get back into your fortress and, you know, hunker down, you know. There's been a whole lot more of this idea of, okay, we need to stand up and we need to be stronger than ever now. And that has been really encouraging to see. But also, not only that, I feel very encouraged that a lot of that has been also tempered by the remembering how Charlie was able to sit across the table from somebody, have a discussion with them. That has been brought up as the example we need to follow as well of not adopting the world's method of getting your point across, which is not God-honoring at all, but adopting an attitude of grace and adopting an attitude of respect for the other person while standing strong on your own convictions. And if that's going to be what shapes, I guess, political discourse when it comes to conservative evangelicals, I think that that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to get a little more specific with your prayers, there are a lot of people who never would have stepped foot at one of these events, but they were affected by the death of Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that really just really disagreed and still disagree, but they saw the tragedy of someone being shot and killed for their beliefs. And so they have started thinking of things a little differently and or deciding to show up. A lot of people who didn't agree with Charlie Kirk showed up for his memorial services all over that they've had just simply because they were saddened that someone died for their beliefs that way.
Mm-hmm.
So pray for those individuals that are rethinking things right now and pray that the Lord will start working on them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And during all of these talks, they're going to be talking about a lot of different things at these events, but praying that the gospel will be presented very clearly and very powerfully, I think, is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk about what people believe about guns all day long and immigration, but if we're not talking about the most important thing is what they believe about Jesus Christ, then it's largely a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so praying that the gospel will have a chance to shine at these events, I think, is also important.
Yeah, and that segueing into another topic that also involves Frank Turek here, we had him on not long after Charlie died, and we talked at that time about the increasing number, and I think it's still increasing, but the increasing number of like TPUSA chapter requests and all these young people in the news and on social media posts that are saying things like, hey, for the first time ever, if not the first time in a long time, I'm going to church today, I bought a Bible, all these kinds of things. Those are fantastic things, and they make you feel good, and you say amen. But I had an opportunity to talk with Frank about that on today's issues.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what should we the people, we the body of Christ, do when we see somebody in our church, maybe they're new or we just know somebody in our family or in our community that's going to church for the first time, his advice was get them in a Bible study. And I think that's something that's really a challenge for everybody listening because if there are people across the country that are interested in Jesus now, interested in going to church, they're interested in what the Bible says, those are your opportunities to be that person's mentor at that moment.
Yeah.
I can't reach somebody in Kansas, but somebody in Kansas listening to our show can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing wherever you are in the country. Everybody probably has somebody in their family, in their community, maybe even a coworker's kid or something, where you can use that as an opportunity to fill, you know, stand in the gap, help them, push them along in a loving way, of course.
Yeah.
But to, you know, be that person that's going to help them get into church and stay there because you are helping them understand what the gospel is.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And I love that. Get them in a Bible study because I feel like going to church is wonderful.
Yeah.
Finding a place where that you can really get down and start digging into the meat of the word.
Yeah.
And be able to ask your questions.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, sitting, you know, during a sermon, I'm, you know, glad you're there, but there's not a lot of room for asking the pastor questions while he's giving a sermon.
Yeah.
Being in those smaller groups with maybe some more mature Christians is a wonderful place for you to be if you can find. I highly suggest you look for a group.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then again, also be ready to do your own research in the word.
Yeah.
Because you, I mean, to make sure that what's being said in the group does line up with scripture.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, if you kind of, you go to church on Sunday morning and you see a bunch of visitors, maybe some young people who showed up for the first time and you talk to them and they're like, yeah, I'm hearing all these things out in our culture right now. I'm curious. And so I just wanted to show up and see what it's all about. That's a wonderful thing. But you're not done yet.
Mm.
I think that you are at the very, very beginning here, and discipleship really, really needs to follow.
And kind of, I was thinking about the parable of the sower when it comes to like these people that they want to get in church and they're going to church, and then all of a sudden, you know, a couple of months go by and nobody's seen them, and they aren't in church anymore. It kind of made me think about the parable of the sower, where certain seeds fell on certain things, and because of the way that they were, nothing really developed.
Yeah.
And, you know, while that parable is mostly about Jesus and the Word and different types of people, you can still help that person be that good ground where something takes root and grows and doesn't just sprout up and then quickly die. Because that's what's going to happen if people aren't in a Bible study and they don't understand. Because most people are going to get their Bible knowledge from places we've talked about on the show before. It's going to be Facebook, which is the absolute worst place to get knowledge of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you how many Facebook reels, and I don't know why I get these, but Facebook reels about books in the Bible that aren't in the Bible and all kinds of conspiracy theories and whatever else. And that right there is why there will be people until the end of time that don't believe because somebody made a terrible video and that person was misinformed after having watched it.
Exactly. And that's why when you do see people, curious people, seekers who come to your church, the most important thing for you to talk about is Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't go into the weeds of, well, what do you believe about angels? Or do you think aliens might exist?
Someone,
or what about the end times?
If someone is getting involved in church, you'll eventually get to some
you'll
of those things.
There. Yeah.
So you'll eventually get there. But
maybe.
That's, maybe. If they stick around, you should get to those kinds. You'll get to some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But starting out with that.
Yeah.
Might be a little bit.
Yeah. Starting with where they are right now, which is a person who probably hasn't heard very much about God and Jesus. And the things that they have heard are either wacko stuff from the internet or horrible representation from Hollywood. Let's start at what the gospel is and who they are before God and what God says about that. Yeah. And that is where you need to, because if they don't hear anything else, then that is the most important thing.
Very true. And, you know, there are people out there that they just don't like to read.
Yeah.
There are places like Bible Gateway that will, you can do an audio Bible function and you can listen to the Bible. I would suggest opening up the Bible and listening to the audio version and kind of zoning in on the word. So that way, like, you know, you're being told the story, but you're getting it from the story versus somebody that wants you to believe the story is this way, you know, and not, you know, day two, Nephilim.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. Things that would.
I kind of want a t-shirt that says that now.
Yeah.
Day two, Nephilim.
Yeah.
Ask me about my Nephilim.
Right. Yeah. Let's get into Levitical law and what we can't eat. And,
oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Tithing. Every pastor's favorite topic, tithing.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so there's that. So we do need to continue to be in prayer. For those people. And I think, too, when people get immersed in Scripture and they really figure out what it is that God did in creation and God's plan for all of us, I think it will help reduce the amount of people that are stuck on issues like this one, males and female sports. That's been one that's popped up a lot and will continue to pop up. It was in the news this week because a former ESPN personality named Sam Ponder, who's a lady, wife and mother, she just got fed up with watching her daughter and other girls on a girls' basketball team in New York, where they live, get dominated by a male on a girls' basketball team. And Sam, like it or not, right or wrong, took to X to air her thoughts as to why she doesn't. She's sick and tired of watching her daughter get posted up by a boy who was dominating all the girls on the team, not just her daughter here. And she went on to say that basically, you know, we're misleading kids and mistreating kids by letting them believe that they're normal, it's the people that are wrong, all these other things. Somebody needs to step up and do something. And I know it's a touchy subject. We probably all know somebody that might fall in the LGBTQIA plus community. But I think if we can get more people really in the Word and they can see how God designed the world and what His plans are for us, I think it will reduce or make the problem not as big as it has been based on the fact that a lot of us are illiterate when it comes to biblical issues like this one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a very big issue as well, because I mean it raises its head very starkly when it comes to the issue of, you know, boys and girls sports, restrooms. I feel like that's not really talked about as much anymore, but still an ongoing issue. What gender can use what restroom, and why don't we just let everybody in the same room? And so there are safety concerns. There are practical ways that a spiritual problem enters into society and has ramifications. Some really, truly, you know, it affects people, and it doesn't just stay in this, oh, well, it doesn't matter what you think about this because it doesn't really impact real life. It really does.
And it does.
It really does.
And it's not just a Christian issue either. I mean, obviously, as a believer, we have our reasons why, you know, and going on scripture, why we think that this is wrong.
Yeah.
But even from a secular standpoint, you're looking at, you know, like there's the unfairness of, hey, I've worked my whole life to become at this point at this sport. Well, here comes a boy who decided, you know, a month ago that he wants to be a girl, and he's still filled with his boy testosterone.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he just, you know, beats me at whatever without even trying. And then there's also the safety issue.
Yes.
Which is, to me, is the, like one of the biggest ones because I should be able to go into a bathroom without being scared. And most of the time, I'm mostly thinking about young girls too. And you look at some situations where there's just no win, and I'm thinking of a man like you, Chris, and a man like you, Jordan. If you are out and about with your children and your wife is not with you, you have daughters, and what are you supposed to do? You can't, as a grown man, can't go into the women's bathroom. You, at a certain time, you know, point, you don't want to take your daughter into the men's bathroom. But then again, you still don't feel comfortable sending them, like, because your daughters are old enough. They don't need your help.
I was so glad when my oldest was old enough to take her younger sister in the bathroom.
But now you have to be concerned.
That who else is in the bathroom?
And there are the stories are out there. It'll be somebody. It'll be a guy who is put on some quick makeup and a skirt. Trying to be a woman.
Take advantage of the
and they still have stories of that sort of thing. You know, I mean, it's like it's hard because it's, and I think on that, for a woman, I don't really, at this point where I live, I don't always live in fear, but but I worry about the young
girls. If you're
traveling,
certainly. It's an issue in airports, in bigger cities, department stores that have policies allow for things like that. It is an issue of concern, certainly for women, but also fathers of young girls, because, again, you don't know who all's in there. So definitely a tense situation there. On a brighter note.
Okay, good.
Yes, thank you.
Christmas is 2 months away.
Wow.
So I can't believe, you know, time's flying by, but 2022 is going to be a great year. Don't get me wrong. But Christmas is, you know, 2 months away, and a lot of churches maybe are thinking about what they can do for people in need in their community. Mm-hmm. Now's a good time, probably crunch time. And I bring that up because even before the government shut down, I passed by a food pantry.
Yeah.
And there's always a long line there. And it's been like that for a long time. Even before President Trump took office, you can't blame it on this person and his or her politics or whatever. It's a problem. And there are people, you know, lining up for food not far from where your church is probably worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably people in need, maybe even people in your congregation. And the only way that you're going to be able to find out who needs some help is to have a conversation with people in your church beyond the weather and last night's ball game.
Yeah.
So we need to be mindful of that and trying to figure out how we can give so much as somebody, you know, a coat or some canned foods, something.
Yeah.
And I will say, I know that you can't always know what's going on behind closed doors. And I know there are people who try to hide it well. But a lot of the times, you know who the people are that really need something. And there are ways where you can very quietly and discreetly give them some assistance so they don't feel embarrassed. So be considering that.
Absolutely. I mean, and praying for that awareness, I think, whether it's people in your church who aren't saying anything or things that are going on in your community that you could be a part of. I think a lot of times because we're not looking for opportunity, we just miss opportunity. And so praying that God would show you where to plug into. Maybe if it's just an encouraging word to say to somebody, or maybe it is, you know, volunteering your time at a pantry. Either way, like the Christian principle of charity has been around for thousands of years, and it still is. And so that's something God wants us to do. Chris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.